Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm claustrophobic, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not funny, I've got school.
Us wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We are coming from you. We're coming from you. This isn't real, this isn't actually a podcast. It's a figment of your imagination. You've not been tuning in every week. Please seek professional help. I don't know what your subconscious is trying to tell you by manifesting this precocious young gay comedian in your ears, but maybe look into it deeper. No, we are coming to you from the past. That's what I was trying to say. This is a pre-recorded episode. Normally we go out live every week, and there's a risk, an element of anything can go wrong. But today we've got Kieran on the edit, and he's going to make me sound absolutely faultless. That sort of little fuck up I did earlier when I said the wrong words, it's not going to exist. I don't even know why I'm referencing it, because you're never going to hear it. So this is actually pre-recorded because we are currently in Edinburgh. We're at the Edinburgh Fringe. My show started yesterday, as you're listening to this, on Monday the 28th. Today is, of course, the Tuesday. It's my second day up there. And tomorrow, the 30th of July, will be the first show of my brilliant guest, Jane Edwards, who's bringing her show She-Devil to the Underbelly Bistro Square, 4:15 every day. We'll talk to Jane in just a minute. But we must start, as we do every week, with a monologue, which is a bit hard because obviously it's meant to be a topical monologue and I have no idea what the news is going to be next week. So all I can do is have a little guess. Obviously the Lionesses brought it home for England in a final, a sort of rematch play against Spain, 1-1, took it all the way to extra time, then sort of Mary Earps came back Undertaker style, WrestleMania, you know, rejoined the fray, scored the winning goal in the 120th minute, something like that. So that's great for the Lionesses, really really happy about that. Nuclear war back on the cards, not Russia, not Korea, not even America, Guatemala. Can you believe it? Yeah, a lot of tension between Guatemala and Djibouti on the sort of horn, eastern coast of Africa. And we didn't even know they had nukes. We didn't even know Djibouti and Guatemala were nuclear powerhouses, but there we are. So obviously that's sort of a new thing that's keeping everyone on their edge. You know, I'm sure you've all heard about it. Obviously, you're in the future where this has already happened. But right now, there's very fresh news for us. Guatemala and Djibouti, sort of nuclear war pending. And the heat wave has come to a dramatic end. And entering the latest ice age in sort of the human timeline. That's what it's just the scientists are starting to say. It's got very, very cold in the last few days, and they think that we'll be completely frozen over, complete tundra, real sort of biological, ecological reset. If humanity will survive it, that'd be great. But, you know, we've got a lot to contend with. Obviously, we've got the upcoming Ice Age. We've got the nuclear threat from Djibouti and Guatemala. But at least the Lionesses won the Euros. So that's great. That's all I can imagine has happened this week. If it's wrong, let me know. Text the show 07827333566. That's my actual genuine phone number. I give it out more often than I should. Or indeed, message us. Pulse of the _nation on Instagram. Or indeed, message me at @StandUpAndrew. To let me know if I got any of my predictions right for this week. But let's not focus on what may or may not happen in the future. Let's focus on what will definitely happen in the future, and that is that I'm bringing in, fading up, the wonderful Jane Edwards. Hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
A pleasure. Thank you for coming in. Now, there's so many places to start, but I will start with your show because it is so intriguing. Your press image is amazing.
Thank you.
It's sort of like a Tudor-style headpiece that sort of extends into like devil horns.
Yeah.
Which is apt because the show is called She-Devil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's ever said with that intonation, She-Devil.
I've never heard anyone.
No,
give it that little flair.
I like it. It's like a verb. Oh, she devil. You
yes,
know.
Yes. Yeah.
She comedy. She devil. Yeah. Tell me about the show.
So the show is about conspiracy theories, autism, and men turning on you. My style of comedy is kind of like, it's surrealism, but it's very much based in reality. It's
yeah.
Kind of hard to describe, but. But yeah, the show is really exciting. I'm really excited to bring it to the Fringe. It's basically about like the overarching theme is like power dynamics and like what men will the lengths that men will go to hold on to power.
So. Oh, for thousands of years, we've really been going to lots and lots of lengths. Yeah, yeah. I can only apologise on behalf of all of mankind. But yeah,
that's okay. You're forgiven.
Thank you.
The rest of them, I don't know.
Kieran, you should hear what Kieran says in the booth. It's disgusting the things he comes out with. Lots of horrible, really. So yeah, that sounds like a really, really, well, it sounds very interesting, but it also, I know it's going to be very funny because I know you're a very funny comedian.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of your socials.
Thank you.
Which is, by the way, if you would like to follow at home, @Jane_Edwards. This is your first, like, paid venue, proper, you know, sort of arrival at the Fringe, as it were.
Yes.
That's very exciting. The Underbelly Bistro Square. how have they been? Has it been good?
It's been brilliant. Because I'm self-producing as well, so it's all been a bit like...
That's a lot. That's a lot on your shoulders. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of deadlines, a lot of me quickly emailing someone going, I'm sorry, I missed this. Can I still do it? Apart from that aside, like my bad admin aside, it's been so exciting because it's like, it's the first time I've ever really gone for it.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who does that like first paid venue, you have to really commit in like so many different ways. You have to go, I'm a good comedian, here's all my money. You know, you have to kind of go so all in on it. And that has been really, I feel like it's like changed my brain chemistry a little bit. It's kind of made me like arrive in comedy and arrive in the world a bit as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just all been very exciting. I know no one wants to hear this, but feel very positive about the Fringe.
That's great. No, that's really good. I want to hear this. We've had a string of miserable bastard comedians just coming in going, oh, I'm going to spend the money on the Fringe. But no, it's good. I'm glad that you're happy about it. Yeah. And yeah, if those of you that don't know sort of the Fringe economics, there's sort of different layers of the Fringe, where there's like completely free entry, there's sort of like half free entry, you can buy a ticket in advance, and then there's this pantheon, these sort of four big ones: Pleasance, Underbelly, Gilda Balloon, and oh, what am I missing? There's another one, isn't there? It's the big four: Underbelly, Pleasance, Gilda Balloon, and we're never going to get booked by them now. But
Assembly,
there we go. Oh shit, I did my show with Assembly last year. That is embarrassing, actually. That's very embarrassing. But the thing is, none of these venues normally, so in a free show, you're just flyering for yourself, being like, please come see some comedy. It's free. It doesn't matter if it's shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this is the next level up. He's like, well, you know, maybe it might sell out, so you want to book in advance. And then this one is like, no, you have to invest money. You have to put me in your schedule. And and you, as the performer, have to put your money up as well. It's like, it's such an outlay. So yeah, it's sort of backing yourself, really, and it's great. I'm glad you're really positive about it.
Thank you.
Are you excited to see stuff up there? Is there anything that's caught your eye in the programme?
Definitely. Oh God, there's so many. I'm super excited to obviously see Joe Kent Walter's new show.
Yes, yes. Performing as Frankie Monroe, the sort of landlord from a working men's club in hell, I think is the sort of broad overview of Joe's oeuvre. He's really, really good.
Oh, definitely. I think there's lots of like, what I love about The Fringe is that because I'm in Manchester, I'm not like isolated. I mean, obviously I'm, you know, I can travel outside of Manchester, but you don't really get to see the kind of broad range of shows. So there's like lots of people from London, lots of people from Scotland. I love the Scottish scene. I just think there's just, same with like, there's like certain places in the UK where I just love the vibe of their scene. Newcastle's another one.
Oh yeah.
Loads of really fantastic. Great acts.
Well, I have to flip the switch. Where's the shittest place? The worst county to perform. And why is it Kent?
I don't think I've ever gigged in Kent.
Have you never?
No.
Oh my God,
I'm not
Christ.
Going to now.
Like. I've had the odd good gig in Kent.
Yeah.
Canterbury, Faversham Fringe. That's about it.
I see.
Middle Kent is really, really bad.
Oh, God.
I did Ashford once. I won't name the hotel. But it was this massive dining room.
Yeah.
And they were all centralized in the dining room on big, long dining tables. So I think in terms of capacity, it was probably at about 20% capacity. All on these long dining tables, they all knew each other. There was a massive dance floor, and then there was a stage, but we weren't allowed on the stage because the DJ had set up his equipment on the stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and so you just had to sort of perform with a wireless mic, not lit, because there wasn't lighting. You just had sort of disco lighting. That's all you had. And it was almost sort of like doing table-to-table comedy.
Wow.
And sometimes you do the situations and everyone's so nice and it's fine. This was not that. And Kate Martin was... do you know Kate Martin?
She's
fantastic. But she's a big, tall lesbian, largest wingspan in comedy. That's her claim to fame. But she was emceeing, so she comes on, you know, les is about the place. I come on, gay about the place, and this woman stands up and walks out. And we're like, oh, whatever, maybe she needs a piss or whatever. And then the venue were telling us, oh, yes, this old lady came to the desk and said, what on earth are you thinking, letting gays into Ashford?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's sort of the level of Kent
wow.
that when I think of Kent, that's what I think of.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not a great first impression.
No, it's not.
I don't think I'm going to be asking to do that gig.
No, no. That's that classic comedian repository. Oh, who books that?
Yeah. Who books it so I can avoid it?
Yeah.
I have a gig for them. Oh, wow. Bloody hell.
Yeah, are there any I'm trying to just like break down your positivity. Are there any stinkers that are like sticking in your mind? Like, Christ, I'm never going back to that town. That's the thing, a gig so poisonous,
yeah.
it like ruins the whole town or city for you.
God, well, I think for years, and I hate to say this, but for years it was Stockport.
Yeah.
And now I live in Stockport.
Wow, that's a real turnaround in fortunes.
I don't know what they did. I don't know what brought me back round. But yeah, because there was like gong shows there, and that's like
yes, it's famous sort of yeah.
Hats and gong shows. I just think I had such an awful one, and entirely on me if I'm honest, and just didn't want to. You know, it's like the whole atmosphere of the town is like poisoned by your. Bad comedy. This is years ago.
It feels like I've heard stories of people like doing cruise ships and they have a shit gig.
God.
Like Jess Foster's brilliant show from a few years ago. And the thing is, then it's the talk of the cruise and you're stuck on that ship.
Honestly.
And everyone's going, did you hear about that awful comedian? And it's like, oh, yes, that was me. it feels like you've done that to the whole of Stockport.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can still, again, I can leave the town, but. I could never the cruise ship
market. No, that's going to be stuck on there. Yeah,
God.
Horrible. Apparently there are a few that are like adopting more comedy club models that are a bit accessible.
I see.
But I think 45 minutes, broadly clean, don't get any complaints and everyone's over 80 on life support. It's like, not ideal.
God, I used to do gigs. It was, the West Midlands, actually.
Yeah.
Great place. Wonderful area of the UK. However, there was like when I first started in the north, that's where all the gigs were, but they were in like restaurants on roundabouts. And it was like
I've never even heard of this sort of circuit of restaurants on roundabouts.
That's all I just honestly, and it was always like everyone is over 80 and over. And you'd get, you know, it's like comedy in a curry.
Yeah.
But they'd be eating the curry as you were on stage. And I was doing like alternative, I think I was doing like kind of drag king stuff at that time. And you'd go on and everyone would just be eating a curry and just watching you, you know, in like a restaurant. And I remember once it was like dead silent. I just did a punchline. This guy waits a beat and he goes, fat cow.
Oh my God. Well, he's eating a curry. That's amazing.
Well, he's literally like shoveling it in and he just goes, fuck Kyle. But
That's
you've unlocked like a core memory there.
I'm so sorry. I feel really bad. The light in your eyes is completely changed.
Yeah,
there's a tear rolling down Jane's cheek. You can't see it at home, but I'm so sorry that we've delved into these depths. Look, we're going to have a little break now so we can do some like group therapy breathing exercises, get over our horrible gigs. I'll tell you about a very interesting one I did at Weymouth Working Men's Club. But after the break, we are going to be talking to the wonderful Anna Richardson, who you may know for... this isn't the best way to introduce her. You may know her for gawping at men's penises on live TV. She's, of course, the host of Naked Attraction, that iconic British TV staple. We're going to be talking to her about sex and relationships. She is a sex and relationship expert. Very excited to have her in the studio. Me and Jane will be talking to her just after this break. Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Joining us down the line, the legendary, the iconic Anna Richardson. Hello.
Oh, hello. This is wonderful, you guys. I love being told that I'm legendary and iconic. I'll take that. Hello. How are you both?
Well, it's fully deserved. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you, Jane?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, we're having a lovely afternoon in our air-conditioned studio. And perhaps maybe air conditioning might play a role in the job that you do. Obviously, you're a fantastic presenter, a sex and relationship expert, but perhaps best known as the host of Naked Attraction.
Absolutely, and long may that last. And let me tell you that you're absolutely right that air conditioning plays a huge role on that show. The girls insist on having it ice cold. The boys get terribly upset and then insist on having it really, really warm. I won't go into the reasons why.
I think we can all fill in the blanks there. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And how do you sort of go to the whims of the contestant, or is there a balancing act to do?
Oh, there's just a constant fight over the air conditioning switch. So, you know, the girls are always reaching for it, trying to get it sort of ice cold, and the boys then going, oh, it's too cold, or can we turn it up a bit? So, I mean, half the time when we're filming, it is just this sort of go-between of we've got to try and get the temperature right in the studio. So it's a miracle we get anything done at all.
Oh, I'm reading the Wikipedia page for Naked Attraction, and they claim that a record can take up to 12 hours. Is that true?
A record can take a full filming day, right, can take anywhere between 12 and 14 hours. That is true. But within that day, we're doing at least three different rounds or three different shows.
Gotcha.
So, because it's so expensive to take to make television, as you guys know, you know, broadcasting is expensive. So once you've got your studio, you've got to make full use of it. So, yeah, we are back to back. It can take 12 to 14 hours, yeah.
Yeah, okay, but no individual person is sat there for 12 hours in the nutty.
Absolutely not. Okay. Not that cruel yet.
We will come back to Naked Attraction, and indeed, hopefully, long may it continue. We might ask about that later. But for now, we've got some very interesting results of a survey. 2,000 single travellers have been surveyed because there more and more Brits are looking abroad for their love life, for dating.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting, actually, that this survey. So it's from ID Mobile. And as you say, they have done a survey of 2000 British singletons. And they have discovered that more people than ever before are starting to look for love abroad. And they are smoothing Cupid's arrow by basically giving them inclusive data roaming to 50 different countries so that you don't get this horrible bill shock when you get back home, which we've all been subject to. But I think that the bottom line of this survey is the fact that people are voting with their feet when it comes to finding romance, and that they're starting to look worldwide.
Yeah, well, apparently 10% said a holiday romance was a priority in their travel, and almost 40% said it's great for short-term fun at the very least. Have you ever had a holiday romance, Jane?
I haven't. Would love one.
Yeah.
Jane, come on. It's time to get on the apps. You can pick your top destination. I've got them right here. Apparently, the top love destinations. We are talking Italy, France, Spain, all the places in Europe. Come on, Jane. They would welcome you. Just download a dating app. You can get your maps on the go, then a language app. You're set. You're sorted.
Great. I'll get on that this afternoon. Let's go there.
I should have checked in advance. Are you in a relationship?
I am. I'm actually married.
You're married.
Oh, in that case, scrap all of the above. You do not need to go data roaming around Europe.
But there's something interesting about data roaming that you picked out, Jane, in this feedback, that 1 in 10 people ghosted someone abroad because of roaming charges.
Yes. What do you think that says about modern dating, Anna?
Well, I think that what it says about modern dating is that more and more people are being hit by massive mobile phone bills when they get back home. So, yeah, the data shows that people are being put off dating when they do get on their holidays because of the roaming charges, which again is why ID Mobile are offering this great deal for their customers. But I think that it also speaks to the fact that more and more people are using technology when it comes to relationships. So you've got to make sure that you're on the appropriate plan. But it just goes to show that we are reliant, I mean, again, on maps, for example, on language applications, on dating apps as well. So we're starting to bring it more and more into our life, even though there is something around the fact that when you do meet up with somebody face to face, we're losing the art of conversation. So I think that the technology is starting to catch up a little bit in terms of encouraging people to have authentic meetups and more authentic connections rather than what we do in the UK, which is swipe and then ghost.
Swipe and ghost, yeah, it's the
swipe
classic.
And ghost. Does that make sense? There's something wonderful about people going on holiday and then using apps and technology to have a more authentic feel and experience of the city that they're in, the language that they're encountering, the culture that they're encountering.
Mm, yeah, you're using it as a tool and a resource rather than sort of something a bit disposable. You don't have to tell me about it. I've been ghosted more times than Ebenezer Scrooge, Anna. I'm very familiar with the practice.
I mean, I think it's, do you know what? I think it's shocking. And I do think that it's just, you know, people who are just, it's such a cowardly thing to do rather than just saying being adult about it and saying, do you know what, I'd love your time, or I just think that maybe we're mates, whatever. I think the swipe and ghost is pretty poor.
Yeah, it's not good. It's interesting. So you presented the sex education show first back in 2008. So like you've obviously been in this realm for a long time. How has it shifted over the last almost 20 years now that what's your position on that shift over the last?
Well, I mean, certainly throughout my life and my career, I've seen a huge shift. So back in the day when I was in my 20s, this is pre-internet and pre-mobile phone. So you had to date the old-fashioned way, which was either, you know, asking your mates or going to the local pub or meeting somebody at work. Moving on to the sex education show, again, we had mobile phones. Yeah, we did have the internet. We were starting to see maybe the very beginning sort of burgeoning apps, dating apps coming through. But now we have an absolute plethora of dating apps. And of course, we've seen the birth of social media, which we didn't have back in 2008 when I was doing the sex education show. So I think that now we are more digitally enabled. We have influences left, right and centre. We live our lives on screens. We are very, very open, aren't we, with our lives? Nothing is hidden anymore. And I think that what comes with that is a fear of real, genuine connection, that when you actually sit down with a stranger face to face, I think a lot of people don't actually know how to connect. And again, I think post-COVID, we're seeing more and more of this. So ironically, despite the plethora of data and technology, people are becoming, in a sense, more insular and unable to find an authentic connection. I don't know if that's your experience as well, or whether you've seen that.
Yeah, it definitely is. In Jane's brilliant stand-up show, you talk about incels and stuff, and obviously there's been a rise in that sort of culture. I've been in a relationship for just coming up to 3 years now, but I was, you know, on the apps and going dating post-COVID, and so transactional, especially I'm a gay man, so there's an extra cultural layer of like hookup culture, and it was all very transactional. Definitely, I mean, you barely even know people's names sometimes when you meet up with them.
Yeah, I think that's really worrying, isn't it? That, and you've hit the nail on the head actually with the word transactional. That this just becomes right, this is what I'm after. Are you ticking that box? And if you're not, then ghosted. Yeah. And I think that's feeding into everybody's self-confidence and self-esteem. So again, just going back to this interesting survey and the data that ID Mobile have managed to collect, it makes sense to me that people are now starting to leave our shores and say, I'm going to start looking elsewhere because I want authenticity. I feel more myself if I'm in a foreign city or town. I'm able to hook up with a local who can give me a cultural experience. I can use my language skills and I can maybe start again in a more meaningful way.
That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, you're in a long-term relationship, Jane, but do you have that feeling when you go to a new country, like, oh, I can reinvent myself, I'm a new person, I'm a holiday person? Do you relate to that?
Yes, definitely. Love to be the main character.
Yeah, exactly. You're the sort of blinking American tourist stepping into the London lights, like, oh, I'm going to make my whole new life in Britain. That makes a lot of sense. Now, we'll close out with some naked attraction questions, because I think it's absolutely burning a hole in my my pocket. I don't know if that makes sense as an analogy, but we'll come back to naked attraction. But with this ID Mobile data, obviously, you know, go get an ID Mobile plan, use all the apps, get your translation services. But then you're there face to face with somebody. What are your top tips, Anna, for forging a real connection?
One thing I would do before you go on your date is something called the Circle of Excellence. And this is a sort of hypnotherapeutic tool which can be really helpful in terms of visualizing success. So what I say to people is stand, close your eyes before you're about to go out, close your eyes and imagine a time when you have been really happy and really successful. So imagine a scene where everything has been going great for you. And then once that person has imagined that, I ask them to almost throw, like a sort of a Spider-Man, a sort of spider's web on the floor, a circle on the floor in front of them, which is called the Circle of Excellence, and place that visualization inside the Circle of Excellence, that scene that you've had in your life where things have just been so brilliant for you. And then step inside the Circle of Excellence and feel all of the feelings, see the scene again, imagine the colors brighter, all the sounds louder, and just let it wash over you. So you're imbibed in this idea of being successful. So you carry that with you, go on your date feeling more confident. And what I do say to people is that actually flirting and dating is about confidence at the end of the day. It's not just about chemistry. So you may well fancy that person, but there is nothing sexier than somebody who is comfortable in their own skin and who feels confident about what they're doing. And the fail-safe with all of these things is to show curiosity. The art of conversation is to be curious about the other person. So that those would be my sort of my SOS basic dating tips.
That's great. I think that's such universally useful advice for everybody. And I definitely agree with that confidence thing. Like when me and my partner met, we were both in very confident phases of our life. And, you know, as such is life, you know, you go ebb and flow. And there's been times like, Christ, if we met each other now, I don't think we'd even be able to say hello to each other. But yeah, we just luckily struck at that moment where we were really feeling ourselves. So yeah, if you can do anything to engineer that, that's really good advice.
And just to jump in, Andrew, sorry to say.
Yeah, no, please.
To interrupt you, but yeah, when I met I was with a guy for nearly 20 years. And when I first met him, I literally was like, you must be kidding me. He looked like Russ Abbott. You know, I was just a bit, for all those Gen Zs listening, he was a sort of very peculiar looking comic back in the 80s. But I was like, you know, just this guy, no. And then when I got to know him and I went on a few dates with him, absolutely hilarious. One of the most confident people I've ever met. A brilliant person to hang out with. A great raconteur. We were together for nearly 18 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's there goes to show. You just get to know somebody, be curious about someone, and you'll find there's a lot more than the surface level. Yeah.
Exactly that. So be curious, be open.
Be curious, be open, download a language app, enjoy some free data roaming from ID Mobile, and go on, why not have a sort of a European fling? Why not? Have a summer romance. Now, I have to end with some naked attraction questions, because obviously it's a phenom. It is one of the sort of top, most talked about shows on TV. Have you seen a lot of naked attraction, Jane?
Oh, absolutely love it.
It's love it. would you ever be tempted by something like that, or is that just too, like... strange environment?
I think I would give it a go.
Yeah.
I think it's such a unique experience. Like I've never seen anything like it. So.
Well, that's interesting, because I was going to ask you, Anna, was what kind of people are drawn to this? Is it literally like all walks of life, everybody, or is there a particular sort of personality that always crops up?
Do you mean in terms of contestants or people who watch it?
Contestants, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
You can sort of put them into categories. So you get the influencers who basically just want to build up their following online. You know, maybe they've got some kind of business going or whatever, but they just want to build up their following. Then you get the sort of, you know, Jack the Lads who are on it because they think it's a real laugh and that they might get a hookup later in the evening.
Yeah.
So they're just on it to sort of boast to their mates back in the pub. But then you get people who genuinely are on there because they have an important point to prove. It might be that they've got a hidden disability. So they are saying, if I have my clothes on, at what point on a date would I say to somebody, I have a stoma, or I have one leg, or, you know, whatever it happens to be. We also have had lots of trans people on the show who are in the middle of their trans journey, who are saying, you know, I'm a trans man or a woman. And so again, this is what I look like with no clothes on. I deserve to be loved as much as anybody else. Yeah. So we get those people who are genuine about their journey as well. So they sort of do come in a sort of mixed bag of categories. Yeah, and we welcome that.
Yeah, that's amazing, especially, you know, at the moment there's lots of sort of fraught tension around trans issues. So that's so interesting and vital that comes up, that trans people have a space to be represented and be themselves on a national stage like that. That's so cool. Yeah, what an amazing impact you can have with the show. Yeah, probably people think it's a silly little joke, but yeah, actually it's actually very impactful.
It genuinely has. I mean, I know that you know, we laugh a lot about Naked Attraction. It's we think of it sort of fondly because it is a good laugh. But actually, underneath it, there is a really important message. It is about acceptance at the end of the day. And that is why we welcome, in particular, our trans brothers and sisters. We welcome people with disability. And we also welcome people, you know, couples and people that are exploring polyamory as well. It's kind of like, all of human life is here and no one's there to judge.
There we go. It sounds like I loved it anyway, and not just for sort of like ironic reasons. I really truly loved it, and yeah, the more we sort of delved into it, it's like, yeah, this is actually maybe one of the most vital pieces of television out there at the moment. Mm. Well, I say at the moment, here's the big question, Anna, and we'll end with this. Maybe we can sort of tease an exclusive. Is there a new series in the pipeline? Is there something more coming from Naked Attraction?
You know, I wish I could give you a definitive answer on this. I am ever hopeful, fingers crossed, that it will come back. I would love to see it coming back with maybe a twist on the format, perhaps a little bit of a change. But I don't know is the honest answer at the moment. I just don't know. So let's all collectively put our fingers together, fingers crossed, that Channel 4 will bring the mighty Naked Attraction back for a new series.
Please, Channel 4. We want it. We're desperate for it. Thank you so much for joining me, Anna. And yeah, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you both. Have a lovely, lovely afternoon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We were chatting there with the wonderful Anna Richardson from Naked Attraction. And very aptly, I've got this press release in front of me, Jane. Mm-hmm. 1 in 3 Brits, right? This is from talkingpoints.72point.com. They send us press releases all the time. I don't know to what end. I don't know whether they get sort of financial reimbursement for this. But anyway, nonetheless, here it is. They've carried out this survey. 1 in 3 Brits use comical names for different body parts, like crown jewels, chesticles, and meat and 2 veg. A poll of 2,000 adults revealed genitals are the most popular body part to be given a nickname.
This
was very upfront. I don't think we've ever met in person before, actually.
No, we haven't.
Do you have a nickname for your genitals? I really must learn to socialise. That's on me, and I will eventually. I'll get there. I'll learn to talk to people. But for now, that question is lingering in the air.
I don't think that I mean, I guess when you're, I mean, I'm trying to think of a time where I've ever actually talked about my genitals.
This is the thing. This is the thing that surprises me. Is like, why are British people talking about their genitals? I mean, great. But you know, that's not us. That's not what we do.
This is it. Yeah. Like, it's good to not, you know, it's not a taboo, and you know, we should all be able to if we want to, but I don't think I've ever felt the need to think of a nickname, bring it up in conversation. I mean, I don't know how it's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The Kerry Pritchard McLean's got a really great bit about this. Like, about 31, you're young and you give nicknames, and and somebody says, "Oh, you should teach your children to call it penis and vagina, because otherwise they'll grow up and there'll be a 50-year-old man going to the doctor going, oh, my winky hurts," which is a fantastic Kerry Pritchard McLean bit. But Yeah, I don't know. So here's some of the examples. Ding style, like whether any of these have you've used any of these. This is so horrible. Your show is all about how men have maintained power and been broadly horrible. And here I am, like, have you ever called your boobs melons? melons, feet. Oh, hang on. So there's also, it's not all genitals. I should have read ahead. apparently, 30% of people in the South call their feet footsies.
Oh no!
Now the northern equivalent for 25% is trotters.
Okay, I could get on board with that.
I'm happy with trotters because that's like charming.
Yeah, it's like wind in the willowsy.
Yeah, I also like the sort of animalization of ourselves.
Yeah, it's cute
because we are animals. Yeah, and so I like trotters, but footsies, no. On the north south divide, there, I'm firm. I'm firmly with you, Jane. Don't you worry. Although I will be honest, I'm currently in Portsmouth. I'm so far south that north of me is like Oxford. So yeah. goodness, 68% worried about body odor in areas other than their underarms. A term nicknamed FOBO, fear of body odor.
FOBO.
That must be pretty prevalent in this heat.
Yeah,
I'm showering a lot at the moment.
Yeah, I think.
I finally got to the crux of the funding of this research. It was from Sure Whole Body Deodorant.
Oh, there
so
we go.
So we are inadvertently. And you know what? Just for trying to sneak in an advertisement, I'm actually going to promote Lynx. If you have fear of body odor, get some Lynx on you. We've all seen the adverts. The women will flock to you. They'll be sniffing your bum. Have you seen the bottom half deodorant that Lynx are doing?
No.
So it's like, and they're doing these little adverts where like someone's like squeezing past somebody in the cinema and this woman's like leaning forward and just like like huffing up his bum. I could have phrased that better. I do apologise. You physically recoiled. You've diminished yourself to so like, oh, please don't ever say that again. She's there.
God.
I'll say it again. Huffing up his bum. It's like a sort of lower area spray. So it's designed for your bum and genitals.
They're doing too much. I mean, I know they've got, I would hate to work in like the, you know, product development area of these things. You go for so many years, you're completely out of ideas, you're trying to think of new stuff, but yeah, I mean, we shouldn't do the bidding of like big deodorant.
No, we really should. We refuse to promote Sure. I'm going to say it, you don't need a specific undercarriage deodorant. Yeah. Just spray your normal deodorant down there.
Exactly.
Surely it does the job. Exactly. There's not some sort of chemical difference between your like crotch sweat and your armpit sweat, surely.
I saw a clip the other day though of Danny Beard, the drag
queen,
talking about face deodorant.
What?
Face deodorant. I think it's.
Worried about my face being smelly.
I mean, I saw like it was a couple of seconds of the clip, and I was like, face deodorant, and that's maybe all I took from it. But I think it's because you know, like, if you have makeup on your face all the time,
it smells of makeup. Yeah, yeah.
Stops you from sweating it off and things like that. So.
Oh, so it's like a setting spray, but it's odored.
Yeah, I think so. I know it's called face deodorant. There's like a specific thing.
Yeah.
Whether you can use normal deodorant, I don't know.
That doesn't sound right. That surely it's got to be protective of your eyes. You don't put aerosols in your eyes. We're a very reckless show. We say lots of things. I pretended that there's nuclear war between Djibouti and Guatemala, but we must draw a line. Please don't put aerosols in your eyes. Christ alive, that's reckless from you, Jane. Actually, you're a she devil. The title is apt. Let's see, face deodorant. It's the first thing that came up. Oh, I see. So it's. It's an antiperspirant gel for face, neck and nape. You don't hear that enough. Speaking of body part names, you don't hear the nape enough.
No.
There's not enough nape discourse out there. Yeah. Okay, it's sort of a cream rather than a spray.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So don't spray anything in your face, Christ. But are you a Facebook dweller?
Only for weird groups and only for the straight. I'm not really too bothered about what people are doing on holiday.
No, we don't want that. Do no, I mean? That's not what social media is for.
No, this is it. But yeah,
great. Well, so you're not necessarily you're in that real Facebook group.
Yeah.
So this is sort of similar. We've gone all over the country for these. We start with the little village group. So this is from post from the village group. Whoever is throwing raw chicken into my garden, please stop. So much going on here.
Yeah.
The spitefulness, the assumed spitefulness of the raw chicken throwing.
Yeah.
What is happening? What a weird measure of revenge. And also, like, what is the, I guess,
I guess the foxes would get in. Is that really much of a... It's annoying, but it's not like, you know, life-altering.
I mean, maybe they're just being nice.
Well, they're like, oh, here, we got some spare chicken. Yeah, maybe they're just strange people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Raw is weird.
I mean, but also, like, raw, because you've got to handle it in the right way as well. So it's like, that's this thought gone behind that. Like,
you think whoever's lobbing this chicken over the fence has correctly handled it?
Yeah, I think
they've washed their hands. Yeah. They've got out the special chopping board and then just tossed it over the fence. Interesting.
Must be.
Well, fascinating. I'd love to find out more about this mystery. Let's go to our next post. This is fun. This is one of those sort of AI generated Bitmoji screens. This is from UK Hun ? Somebody very upset with the admins of UK Hun. I will find out who the admin of this group is, write them a strongly worded message, and make sure they never dare start another Facebook group again. Again, what I love about these posts is there's such a snapshot into people's lives. There's stuff that's happened in the lead up to this. There is a background that we can never know. I mean, we can, maybe if I bother to go through all the Facebook groups. But what I love is that she's got this little Bitmoji smelling the flower. She's having a lovely time, but she's very angry in her post.
Yeah.
Have you ever admined a group or anything or done anything like that?
Oh, never. I would. I can't imagine the hell that you live in if you admin a group. It must be. I mean, yeah. Because you can't do anything right as well. You set up the group. You're like, oh, a nice little community, and then this. Like, I'm sure they started this group with like all these nice intentions and like, let's get all the Huns together.
This is a group for the Huns, and now it's.
And now the Huns are turning on you.
Yeah, it's gone a bit less UK Hun, a bit more Attila the Hun, maybe. Yeah. Lots of sort of anger there going on. I did once. What I also love about this threat, sorry, I'm just rereading it, is I will write them a strongly worded message. You don't hear that as a threat enough anymore. People too quick to violence, never quick to the strongly worded message.
I would love to read that message.
Yeah. Oh, I'm big. Are you a good complainer? Are you good on the old delay replay and parking appeals and all that sort of stuff?
I am. I mean, especially delay replay, because obviously I've spent all my time on trains and desperately want that money back.
Straight on, yeah. So the amount of times I've like not taken a train but noticed it's delayed and they're like, fine, I'll take it.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I don't think it works in the right way. I'm sure I'm owed like hundreds of pounds from them, really.
Yeah, well, you apply for a delay repay and it's like, oh yeah, you should get about £60, and you get your email being like, your claim was approved, £7.36 is on the way to your bank account now. And like, fucking what?
Honestly, yeah, it's a nightmare. But in general, I'm a good complainer. I think I'm very polite. I'm like, so sorry, you know, I like come on my hands and knees and I know it's not your fault, and I know you just work here. And I think because I've done so many,
that's
like,
the classic. I know you just work here.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I'm not screaming at you. I'm screaming at you as a figure of the company. I'm not losing my. I'm joking. No screaming at anyone, but I think because I've worked.
I can't
imagine
you screaming.
I don't think I ever have.
I think there is an upper decibel limit that.
Yeah.
I just don't think you've ever hit.
Because my voice is like so quiet naturally.
I wouldn't say quiet. I think it's quite soft.
Soft.
Because quiet is like, oh, what was that? Yeah. I mean, although to be fair, I do have headphones on. But I think it's very soft and soothing. You could do good ASMR, actually.
Thank you.
Maybe I could crinkle this high GSM paper, and you could just sort of say, good night, everybody. Sleep well, and we'll just.
Okay. I'm going to write you a strongly worded message.
Oh, that's fun. Sort of ASMR complaining. Yeah. That's really good.
You kind of don't know where to. It's to reframe how you feel about confrontation.
That's really nice. We could sell this.
Yeah,
we'll claw back all that sort of fringe outlay, selling ASMR strongly worded messages. That's really good. I like that. I was going to say I did admin the Southwest Comedy Forum once.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I loved it. I love the
really?
Power. I transformed that forum into arguably one of the most useful forums in the region because I was absolutely zero tolerance, no self-promotion. If you're posting shit that people can't get something out of, you know, either a gig offer or like a resource, gone. Absolutely out of there. Discussion, if you have a question like, oh, well, where do I get this? Fine, you can put that in there. But I was really, really hardline. And I had to give it up because there was this man who, on reflection, was mentally ill. But at the time, I knew he was mentally ill, but I didn't quite realise how much. He had a sort of puppet show, but he didn't have a puppet, he just had a teddy bear called Norman, and he kept AI generating posters of him and Norman the bear. And it was just this old man, and it'd be him in a trilby holding Norman, and it'd be like the Norman and Chris review. And every day he'd post, and I'd delete his post, and the next day he'd post it, but not the same poster again, a newly generated Norman and Chris. And it was mad. And I just kept rejecting it. And then eventually he messaged every, because I wasn't the only admin. I was the only admin doing any work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he messaged every single admin. Being like, what the why is this happening? It's like, this is discrimination. I absolutely have no idea what. The only protected characteristic there maybe is ventriloquist, but I he was otherwise a very straight, very white man. So he and then the other admins were messaging me like, worried that he was gonna do something. I don't know what he was gonna do. It was like lockdown at this point.
So
I think these were hypothetical posters. They show us that don't even exist, and he just kept posting them. And the other admins were they were really terrible at their job, and they just kept messaging people like, what do we do. I'm like, you know what, I don't give a shit. And I succeeded the adminship. And ever since it's gone to pot, the forum. It's not as
bloody
good anymore.
Hell. That is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think I couldn't live through that.
You've done the right thing by avoiding group admining in your life. It's not fun. You don't want to do it. It's up there with being in a WhatsApp group. It's like, it's horrible. Yeah. Is there a sort of nerdism that you lean into?
History.
You're a history nerd. Well, that makes sense with your big Tudor devil horns. What's your favourite era of history?
I have to say, and this does come up a lot in my show, the gunpowder plot. When I was a kid, I loved the gunpowder plot. And I would like, I mean, this is pure autistic, Jane, but my little sister went through so much because like, she's about 4 years younger than me. And I acted out the whole of the gunpowder plot, like fully, not just like the little thing that, you know, like the fall, everything, all the repercussions afterwards and everything to her with like a penguin puppet. And like a little action man is like James the First. And I would act out the whole of the gunpowder plot to her like regularly. And she would just have to sit there and it was like hours and hours of me going through all the details. And
you should do this at the Fringe. if you can find there's a spare date in the Pleasance Grand or something.
Yeah.
I would love to see Jane Edwards.
Does
the gunpowder plot. A one woman production. That's amazing. Have you heard any of the, do you like musical theatre?
Yes.
Have you heard any of the Gunpowder Plot musical, Treason?
Oh, no.
Oh, this is right up your alley.
Wow.
It's not actually sort of in full production. They released a few like, sort of trial tracks and they did like a concert, but it's pretty good.
Amazing.
Yeah. There's that singing about like the persecution of the Catholics and plotting against, I'd recommend it.
Good.
What's so in your historical knowledge, I just want to check because Kieran says lots of stuff and I can't verify it, but you've got some historical grounding. He said that Oliver Cromwell was a fantastic role model and figure in Irish history. He keeps saying that Cromwell was one of the best things to happen to the Emerald Isle. Does that scan true? Or because he just says I just have to believe him. You know, speaking in his riddles as he does. I can't Google this, but.
Well, I feel bad because, I mean, Kieran is Irish.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, rewrite, you know, Kieran's knowledge of his own history.
Yeah. Of course, that's, you know, that's his experience. Yeah,
this is it.
It's his opinion.
Invalidate.
But what's your opinion? Let's say that. We won't invalidate Kieran's deeply, deeply problematic Oliver Cromwell narrative, but what's your opinion?
My opinion is not great.
Not great?
Not great. Probably best not to have done what he
wow.
did.
Wow. He's mad for it. it's his laptop screensaver. It's Oliver Cromwell. it's awful. It's really bad. Okay, that's good to know. Because he says, I just have to trust him, but I'm glad you've sort of seen some sense. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Jane. I really appreciate you coming onto the show. I just want to remind everyone of your show, which, as we now know, features some gunpowder plot. That is actually very exciting. That's very tempting for me. Thank you for coming in. It's, I'm so, so glad I could grab you all the way from Manchester.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been so fun. Thank you so much for having me.
An absolute pleasure. You can follow this show at pulse_nation on Instagram. You can follow me at Stand Up Andrew. I'm also in Edinburgh and I don't clash with Jane. So you can have a perfect sort of 4:15, go see Jane, maybe pick up another show, get some dinner. I'm at 8:35 at Cabaret Voltaire from the 28th of July to, so that's from yesterday, to the 10th of August. Every day, £9 or pay what you want. And I am also having to remember to tell you that this is a podcast. You can please rate this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give it 5 stars. It really helps the algorithm, helps other people see this kind of content. If this is the sort of thing you like and you think other people should hear it, give it a plug, share it on your socials. At the very least, give it some 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. It costs nothing. It does a great deal of good. Thank you to our wonderful, if slightly problematic, anti-Irish Irishman in the production booth, Kieran. Thank you, producer Kieran, shaking his head aggressively, defeatedly there behind the glass pane. But he is a fantastic producer for all of his terrible opinions. So thank you to Kieran in the production booth, at Fubar Radio for all of your radio needs. And we'll see you next week live from the Edinburgh Fringe. Yes, we're going on the road. So we'll see you up in Edinburgh next week. But for now, have a lovely, lovely time and we'll see you then.